This morning, we look at courage to follow your calling. Courage to follow your calling. Every Christian has a calling. Every human being that's ever born has a calling. Now, those that miss their calling are those individuals that refuse to accept Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. You and I, as Christians, we have a relationship with Christ. Now, quit getting discouraged because you're young. Quit getting discouraged because, you know that God is calling you to do something, but looks like the whole world is standing in front of you, barring you from doing it. Because whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, and that individual who says yes to Jesus Christ is given a calling for life. That calling is your existence. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You as a Christian, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't we understand that relationships have to grow? Relationships grow as you grow, as you get older. The relationships either get closer or those relationships get farther apart. Sadly, in our generation, the church, the Christians, have seemed to separate, and the relationship with Christ is backed off until we get back into a religious thing. And in that religious thing is, let's build it better, let's build it larger, let's make sure that every activity is there, and then we begin to worship what we have built. You and I must keep our relationship with Jesus Christ growing, folks. That growth is going to come from you and I talking. Do you not grow in a relationship by talking and finding out that you have things in common and finding out through the talking the hurts and the pains that's going on with others, including yourself? And as we grow in those relationships, you'll hear people say, "Oh, I know them. I know them well." Well, you don't. You just know that you've grown in the relationship with them or grown apart in that relationship with them, because the relationship you and I have with one another is not the same relationship that you and I must focus on in our relationship to who Jesus is in our life. I change, you change. Our personalities change. You get a little older, you will change in your eating habits. You won't like the food you liked when you were younger. Unless you eat White Castles and you never have a problem with that. But the change goes. But Christ says the change that I am going to share with you in your life is going to grow stronger. And the change that you and I are dealing with in our relationship with Christ, folks, is building a relationship to the point that all the world is falling apart. Your family's falling apart, but you've been given the greatest of all gifts, a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you keep growing and growing in Christ, and then pretty soon, you get to say, "Praise God," because there he is right there in your presence. You're in the presence of your Savior. And that Savior looks at you and says, "Come on, Larry." You can put your name in that one. "Come on, Larry. Let's grow together throughout eternity." My relationship with Jesus Christ began when I said yes to him. But my relationship to Christ will never end. I will never at any point in my existence through eternity ever cease to grow and learn more about who Jesus is. So that makes him pretty important in our life, right? It should. Courage to follow your calling. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I beg you. Apostle Paul is saying, to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. How am I going to know how to lead that life? Read the book. Read the manual that God has given us about how to stand with Him. How to make sure that we have the courage to step out. The courage when God says, I've chosen you for this ministry. I was chosen by God before time began. I know that now. That I would be a preacher if I had accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. See, your whole existence is focused on a relationship with your Creator. And in my relationship with Christ, Lord, here am I, send me. I really didn't realize what I was saying. That used to be an ever prayer I had. Here am I, Lord, send me. And one day God did. And I've been going ever since. That's the relationship you and I have. But let me tell you, it takes uncommon courage. It takes courage that you can't see within your own mind that's taking place because it's spiritual. It's a courage that Christ will give you. I've given you a calling as a Christian. How do we follow our calling? I've used two generations of examples here. You got Caleb and Timothy. Caleb from the Old Testament. Timothy from the New Testament. I want to look at their lives as we use their examples, the different generation, in following the calling. And it takes uncommon courage to do it. Number one, believe you can do it even if you're scared. Believe you can do it even if you're scared. Folks, I live in this body of clay right now. Not going to have to do it too much longer, but I'm living in this body of clay right now. You got it? In this body of clay, there's truly Larry Peets down here somewhere. I don't know. But I know the real me is in here. And I know that the real me has a calling. And I know that the real me is going to get scared. I've trembled many times through the ministry over the years of preaching to the hardcore criminals in the reformatories, prisons. I've shook many times and prayed to God that they didn't see me shaking. And God says, you're human, so therefore your human existence, you're going to have to deal with all of those human frailties. But one day you're not. But now I must. And Caleb and Timothy were no different. They had to be tutored. They had to be taught. Caleb by Moses and by the giants of the time. I'm talking about spiritual giants. Many others. Timothy by the Apostle Paul. Paul called him his son in the Lord. Let's look at Caleb first. We go to Numbers 13, verses 27 through 29. They gave Moses this account. 12 spies had went out. The promised land. Go check it out. Come back and tell us about it. They come back. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does indeed flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. They brought a batch back. But the people who live there, I call them the Idas generation. You'll see it in a second. The people that live there are powerful. And the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak, the giants, there. The Amalekites live there, and the Hittites live there. the Jebusites lived there, the Amorites lived there, and the Canaanites all lived there, all the Idists. Generations. Numbers 13:30. Then Caleb, leave that up a second, because I want to focus on something here. During all of this, during Caleb being one of them, there's only Joshua and Caleb, as you know, if you studied the scripture at all, they were the only two that said, we can do it, we can do it. But then the people got upset because they were saying that. And the people were yelling as a mob. Now, these are the Hebrews brought out of bondage, seeing all the miracles of God, are griping again about what's going on. Oh, we can't do that. God did not call whiners. He called men and women of character to stand up and stand strong with holy courage, that courage that you must have. It's so uncommon to stand up and speak out. Numbers 13:30. Then Caleb, he silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Well, that's a bright light, wasn't it? Everyone else except for Joshua, that was a part of the spies, said no. So therefore, the 10 corrupted the majority of those that were supposed to be following God. Numbers 14:8-9, Caleb is speaking. The Lord will lead us into that land and will give us that fertile land. Don't turn against the Lord. Don't be afraid of the people in the land. We will chew them up. That's the New Century version. I like that. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. Number one was, believe you can do it, even if you're scared. Number two is, following your calling, be willing to reject negative advice. Well, I know you're saved, and I'm tickled to death that you're saved, but now see, you just don't have what it takes to do this, that, or the other for the Lord. People who tell you that are not your spiritual friends. They may be saved, and you may see them in heaven. But I guarantee you, people within the church will bring you down. Do you remember in the study of the seven churches that you notice something about these churches? They would get so involved with self that they left everybody else out. Not so with God, and everything that went on was negative. Don't you just love negativity? You go in, you're excited about something, and somebody tells you all the bad stuff that'll happen because of it. And then your excitement's gone. Happens with young Christians, new Christians. Oh, I know you're excited now, but don't worry, you won't be very long. It'll sort of wear off, wear down, and no sense in getting too excited. Good gracious, next thing you know, you're going to be jumping something. You Christians got to calm down. Has Randy Kidder calmed down? No. Sometimes I have to hold him down, but he hasn't calmed down. It's the excitement of being with Christ. Be willing to reject negative advice. Numbers 14:2-4. All of the Israelites grumbled. All of them grumbled and said, if only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord taking us to a new country only to die in battle? Let's go back to Egypt, where we've lived all our lives, where we didn't have to think, where we'd get up, make bricks for Pharaoh, he'd feed us, and we'd go to bed. We live in a generation now, my friends, that are wanting the same thing. We don't need to think for ourselves. Let somebody else think for us. Let me tell you something. The only other that needs to be thinking in your life is Christ, not other people. I'm your pastor, but I do not know your calling. That's personal. That's between you and God. Your calling might be to sit in a pew and pray. And you don't need some roughneck preacher saying, is that all you're going to do, sit in a pew to pray? And then they look up, oh, no, I guess I can quit, but I've been praying for you 40 years. Think of it. Be careful. All the Israelites grumbled and said, if only we had died in Egypt. No wonder Moses, you know, God said, Moses, I'm going to wipe them out. Moses said, no, Lord, let their sin be against me. Don't wipe them out. Next thing you see is Moses saying, Lord, you had a pretty good plan there. Pretty good plan. Numbers 14, verse 10. The whole community, now listen to this, began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Why? Well, they were speaking for God. Do you mean then that those who speak for God need to get ready to be stoned in many different ways? The character, stoned. Who they are, stoned. The church they go through, stoned. Yes. Don't you sort of remember something about Jesus, the Christ, who came to die for us? They wanted to stone him. Why? He spoke the truth. Caleb and Joshua said, we can take them with God. We can take them. And everybody thought they were messing things up. Don't mess it up for us now. Listen, Caleb. If we really bring it close to Moses' ear, he will lead us back. Didn't work that way. Number three. Believe it's never too late. You got to believe that, folks. In order for you to allow the uncommon courage that God has built within you, within your spirit, you have to believe it's never too late to use it. It is never too late to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. It's never too late to make a difference within His realm. And that difference could be what? How can I make a difference in the realm of God? You make a difference every time you lead somebody to Jesus Christ. You make a difference by telling the story of Jesus. You make a difference by standing for the truth. If they're going to stone you, they're going to stone you whether you continue to stand for the truth or not, because they just don't like you, Christian. Redneck, hillbilly, right-wingers. I didn't even know what any of that meant until several years back. I did not know that being an evangelical Christian made me some far-out crazy person. I didn't know that. And I said, I'm a Christian. I'm not right-wing or left-wing. Then the more I got into it, the more I realized people tag you. But it's too late. God's already got you. What they say is not going to change you. What they say is not going to change what I preach or how I preach. Because I have a calling. You have a calling. And you must search out in your own heart the calling God has specific for you. And you do it through studying God's word. God will speak to you. Will it come to your heart like it? And spiritually, yes, but not necessarily. He'll speak to you in a way that you will know that it is God. Joshua 14, 10 and 12. Caleb said, oh, listen to this. Now, you all ought to get right with this one. I'm now 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. That's 40 years earlier. And I'm just as ready to fight now as I was then. Woo! What a spirit. So give me the mountain region the Lord promised me that day long ago. You know, the giants live there. and the cities are large with great walls. But now, with the Lord helping me, I will force them out just as the Lord said. Now, that was Caleb of the Old Testament. Caleb showing us his calling, showing us what God can do when you follow his calling with uncommon courage. Now let's look at Timothy and his example. Number four, develop the gifts God gave you. 1 Timothy 4:12 and then 14 and 15. Now this is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. He was training Timothy. Boy, got rough with him several times too, but he was training him. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young. Oh, they're young. What do they know about life? They're not dealing with your life. They're dealing with the life of Jesus and to bring the message that Jesus has given them. But be an example for the believers in your speech, your conduct, your love, faith, and purity. And do not neglect the spiritual gift that is in you. Practice these things and devote yourself to them in order that your progress may be seen by all. Study, read, pray, watch. Watch the going and the coming of society around you. If life is so good with the folks who do not know Jesus, then why are they never satisfied? In our generation today, we have seen more abuse. I noticed the front page this morning. Another abuse of an infant. And while I'm on that, if any of you people, though you low-life individuals who would harm a child, I tell you what, if you don't want that child, you bring them right here to me, 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove, and I'll take that baby. You don't have to worry about that baby being taken care of. You bring that baby to me, and I guarantee you that child will be taken care of, and you won't ever have to hear that child cry out again. Because I will tell that child something as they grow. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells you so. I won't sing it because I don't want to scare him off. But he would know it. Folks, it is the love within the family that changes the world. The hatred and the bitterness within the family, that has no change within the world. Because that's worldly. That's where the world is. Caleb, can you imagine 85 years old and being that cocky is what I was going to say. Yeah, I got a 99-year-old at her house and she's cockier than any of them. Timothy, develop the gifts. Remember the gifts. God gave them to you. 2 Timothy 1, 6, 7. Fan into flame. Oh, catch this. Well, I got a spark. Well, fan it and it'll burn. It'll grow up. It will go into a flame. Fan into flame the gift of God. There's a gift inside of you. Fan it. To make it grow, burn higher, so everyone can see it, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. That was a man that was called by God to take God's message. And that man called by God to minister through the message that Christ has given him, simply laid his hands on Timothy and said, the blessing that is given you is a gift from God. Go serve the Lord. As he has called me, he has called you. That's what the laying on of hands represented. That's the laying on of hands with care. And you know what that's saying to the person you lay hands on? I see Christ in you. And I want everyone to know that I see Christ in you as they saw Christ in me when I was called. Think of that. Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hand. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity. His name was Timothy, but he wasn't timid. But a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. To be called of God is a requirement for self-discipline. It's not that you don't want to. It's that you don't. You discipline yourself not to. Not to what? Not to do whatever it would be that would take you back into the world. And you got to be reminded. People are paying attention. Right after God called me to preach, and I was the chief of chaplains at the reformatory, how all of that went could only be by God that had said, why don't you go to training under me for chaplaincy? And, you know, this was a head man of the chaplaincy in the state and all. And I thought, yeah, what a blessing. Because I'd got to study under so many that had written the books that I was studying. And what a blessing. So God led me into that. And I could or did not have to wear crosses. And I chose to wear them. I've told you all that before. But here's something that I may not have told you. The wearing of those crosses was more for myself than for them to know that I was chaplain. Every time I stood in the mirror, I would see, Larry, you got to be different. Whole lot different than you were. And I'm reminding you that you belong to me now. And I wore those crosses for years, all the time in the chaplaincy. But it had a greater effect on me every time I saw that reflection. Number five, refuse to be distracted. Everybody wants to distract. Well, I want you to talk about the Lord. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. Let's go rob a grocery store or something. Don't be talking to me about Jesus. Refuse to be distracted, 1 Timothy 4:16. Keep a close watch on yourself. Oh, but Lord, I'm too busy watching everybody else and seeing what they're doing, sticking my nose in their business. Keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right, and God will save you and those who hear you. Woo! Staying true to God, that's uncommon courage, folks. Staying true to the Word, even when the Word's not popular. The Christian is not popular in our generation. The sad part is many Christians are not allowing anybody to see the light of Christ in them to even know that they are a Christian. We're afraid. Well, somebody's going to call me a redneck. Well, I'm in Kentucky. I am a redneck. I was born and raised here. I know what the farmer's tan looked like. What is right, and God will save you and those who hear you. 1 Timothy 6:20 and 21. Timothy, guard what God has entrusted to you. Avoid godless, foolish discussions. You know those people who want to get you into them? Now, preacher, you tell me so that I'll know next time how many angels can sit on the head of a pin. Well, that door that they came through is the same door you can send them out of. You do not waste your time with foolishness, folks. Don't have time for it. People are dying and going to hell, and they need to hear the truth. And I'm not going to get into foolish arguments with foolish people who don't really even know Christ. They're just wanting to talk religion. Guard what God has entrusted to you. Avoid godless, foolish discussions with those who oppose you with their so-called knowledge. You'll never be as smart as somebody else. I don't have to be. I just needed to be as smart as Jesus wanted me to be. I realized early I did not have to know how to spell Jesus to accept him. I don't have to have a special way to say, Jesus, and you're saved. I don't have that one. I'm thankful. But what I do have is Jesus. I accepted him in my heart. Some people have wandered from the faith by following such foolishness. Well, let's go get our intellectual minds together and let's talk about God. That's not what they're going to talk about. They're going to talk about and show you how much they know or think they know about God. And it won't take them but a few sentences and you'll find out they don't know God. They've fallen in love with self. Number six, give God your very best. Did he not give us his best in Jesus? Give God your very best. Is it not God that gives us the very best that we have? And he says, give it away. What good does it do people who become so wealthy and they don't do something with their wealth? They've got so much, but they don't share it. I'm talking about from the heart, and I'm talking about sharing it because you love the Lord and love people. I'm not talking about a government making you give up what you have and give it to people that despise you and God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your calling. 1 Timothy 6:12, run your best in the race of faith and win eternal life for yourself. Now, I won't get into teaching on that, but that's not saying that you're in charge of your salvation. For it was to this life that God called you. God did it. You didn't do it. Did you know that the spark in you that makes you angry when you hear something against the God you serve, do you realize that that's Jesus? That's the Holy Spirit. Do you realize, Christian, that you and I are to be angry with the type of garbage that the world puts out? Be angry about the things God is angry about. That puts you on safe ground. Here's the legacy of Timothy and Caleb. Philippians 20, verse 22. Paul is speaking of Timothy. I have no one else like him. Paul sending him out to preach. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself. Because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. What a send-off. I have no one else like him. Timothy hung in there. That's uncommon courage. Caleb now is speaking to Joshua, reminding him of God's promise. Here's their legacy. Numbers 14, 24. Because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and he follows me wholeheartedly. Remember Caleb a while ago when I read it saying, remember God promised me this? Here it is. And he follows me wholeheartedly. I will give him the land he went to, and his generation following him will inherit it. You got God speaking up for you, folks. I suggest you take notes. Two facts concerning the Christians who follows God's calling. Here they are, and I will close. Fact number one, God is always faithful to you and his calling for you. Let me read it again. God is always faithful to you and his calling for you. He is going to lift you up and he's going, are you going to get hurt? Yes. Expect it. A few rocks are going to hit you right upside the head. Sometimes there may be a rock that the Lord threw just to get your attention again. But God says, I will be with you. I'm always faithful to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. See, my job is not to bring scripture to pass. My job is to preach the scripture, the word of God. My ministry is my job. My ministry that God has called me to is my relaxation. The ministry God has given me and the call to study, those are my sports events. I want to hear from God rather than watch a game. But now that's my calling. If I watched a game, I wouldn't even know what's going on anyway. But that's my calling. Fact number two. This is one of those exciting ones. After fulfilling God's purpose, you will be in his presence. Let me tell you, I don't know when I'm going to die, what day or any of that stuff. Neither is anybody else. But one thing I can tell you, I will not leave planet Earth until I fulfill God's purpose. I have a purpose established by God. Now, Larry, God has not shown me the future. I don't know the future. I don't know the end of my destiny. I cannot tell you any effect that I've had on anyone. I will never know until heaven. So therefore, you stand strong for what God's called you to do. That is serving the Lord. Acts 13:36. David served God's purpose in his generation. Then he died. You and I were born in this generation. God says this is when you're going to be born. There's a purpose for it to be born right now. Therefore, serve God's purpose. When we serve God's purpose, you and I will see God's blessings. Doesn't mean I'm not going to hurt and my heart break for people that are hurting. Doesn't mean that everything is going to go that good. As a matter of fact, one of the best ways for me to know I'm really doing God's work is when I have so many people saying, I don't think you ought to be doing that. And then that's the point in my life that, boy, it must be from God. You see, God loves me, period. And it's an honor, a privilege to get put down and called a redneck preacher. Oh, I love it. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings and the joy of salvation. We thank you for the love that you have given us. Touch each of us now, dear Lord, as we search our heart, finding your word for a truth that lies within us. And that truth is service with you. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.